In our last time together in this subject, number 73, we were going through, we were talking about barrenness because we were dealing with Sarah, and Sarah was barren. And if you remember, the Trinity Elohim came and visited Abraham, and all of you are well familiar with what happened there. But then, when they got through with that, the Lord had some words for Sarah, and he didn't feel like going into the house. The Lord didn't, because he knew he could stand right there and talk to Abraham and tell him. And he could tell she was listening because she laughed. Anyway, so, but what we got into last time, and so I want to just read one of those that we dealt with last time and then move on to a couple of others. But we started looking at some of the scriptures of women that were barren in the scriptures and then their response to going to have a child, and it really is kind of an amazing thing that they, a lot of it isn't just, oh, I'm going to have a baby, you know, it's not that kind of stuff, it's a real deal, but it also has the scope of what the Lord's been doing all the way back, like one of them will read, all the way back to Abraham, which is where we're coming from, to show the importance of this thing. So I read Hannah. I'm going to do Hannah, and then we'll get into some we hadn't read. This is in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 1. And if you don't want to turn there, I'm going to read it so that you da-da-da-da. But if you want to write down where the reference is, it's in your Bible. And it's also in the Old Testament, if that helps. All right, 1 Samuel 2, 1. And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Man, you know, I think much of Christianity nowadays is very secular. I mean, God will do something for you. And you know, many, they just think, well, that was lucky or whatever, even if they're born again. But her first words out of her mouth, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. And I love that salvation is put in some of these. That they see giving birth to the seed as salvation. I mean, it's really something. Now, verse 2, there is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our rock. I don't know, people in the 60s would argue with that, but nonetheless. Talk no more so exceedingly proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. Do you believe that? What would that mean, actions are weighed? Kelly, what? He's checking your motives. And he checks it closer than Santa does to see if you've been naughty or nice. He's checking the motive behind stuff that you probably think are nice. verse 4, the bows of the mighty men. At first I looked and said, why are they wearing bows? The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry cease, so that the barren hath borne seven, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. Can I get amen on that? Yeah. See, we just go, no, the Lord just makes us alive. No. He'll bring you down, he'll do all of that, but he'll also do the second half of that also. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. Verse 7, the Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. Now, this is somebody who has been being tormented and tortured. Remember, you remember Peninnah? Remember her? Jim's looking at me like, never met her. I don't know. Yeah. And the terrible things that and torments that she was doing to Hannah. So she's saying that he bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. She's talking about the ups and downs of this thing, except she's talking about the end ups and downs, and that is where the Lord brings you out of it. You could call it bringing you out of the corridor, because I'm sure that was really what that was. Okay, and he raises this verse 8. Well, the latter part of that one, the verse 7, is he bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's. And I believe that the things she just described are the pillars of the earth. They're the things upon which God set things so that he could get sons in the image of Christ. All right, so, and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. And that last one, for by strength shall no man prevail. And, all right. So we read that one last time. Let's look at Mary, which is a really, really good one. And again, all of these are giving us a picture of this reality of the grieving of a person who wants to bring forth Christ out of them as life through them. Okay? Now, I'm just going to tell you, there's a lot of people, and they say, oh, I want Jesus, but they never go through this kind of travail. They never go through this kind of, I mean, you know, we see a woman in travail, but what if the way the Lord has ordered this with these women and with Sarah, who is the mother of us all, what if the travail wasn't the physical thing? Because the Lord a lot of times isn't really referring to the physical thing. He's referring to the spiritual thing. And the travail is what, you know, Hannah went through with Peninnah and Mary went through with, you know, supposedly, you know, pregnant, but not, you know, saying I haven't been with anybody and all this kind of stuff. And, the anguish of that. But there is the prior thing. I mean, with Deb, she would have, you know, she would start the whatchamacallits. What is it? What?
Labor.
Well, labor, but the there it is, contractions. And she would end up going pretty quick. I mean, particularly with Cassie, man, whoa. I had to drive in the middle thing that you don't drive in with cars going like this to get her there in time. Pushed her into the hospital doors. They grabbed her because we called and said, you know, and they said, well, go sign up, you know, go sign her in and stuff like that. And I walked up to that counter just as she was getting in the elevator, and I went, she's going to have this baby, and I'm going to miss it. And I just said, forget it, and I ran. You're not supposed to do that. I ran over there and jumped on the next elevator, got up there, and sure enough, she had the baby. So anyway, those contractions and all of that happen many times and can happen many different times and can happen actually days or even weeks in advance of having the baby. Well, I think that's a picture of the travail that they're going through because, number one, it's happening before they're going to have the seed or before God has showed up and said, I'm going to give you the seed. So the only person who can really understand that, whether male or female, can understand the spiritual application of that, is the one who has wanted the Lord so deeply for so long and wanted Christ to come out of them, wanted Christ revealed in them, and wanted, you know, and maybe had a lot of knowledge and even, you know, certain things of the Lord, but knew that there is something more than just, you know, joining a group that preaches it, and once literally, really, without faking yourself out, to have Christ come out of you, not just revealed in you. And that person, because they love the Lord and they want the Lord and they see the necessity of it and they see how important it is to the Father, they're in agony when they fail. You know, it's not just failing. It's failing the life that they want to come out of them. And like I said, only someone that has really been in that spot, that really, really has just gone through it, can really understand these wonderful, you know, displays of glory to God when the seed, you know, is going to come forth out of them. And back, I'm going to read Luke 1:46 again. And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." I'm sorry, this is Luke 1:46. Well, should I go back to verse 30 so we can, let's do that. Verse 30, Luke 1, verse 30. "And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." Golly! You're going to bring forth Jesus. How wonderful. You know, I know that you're probably thinking of historically and factually, but spiritually, if the Spirit came to someone who had been travailing for so long and had false labor for so long and refused to fool themselves or to, you know, to go with the crowd because they, you know, I mean, you see this in Mary. You see this in Mary and in Joseph when, you know, they went up to the Passover thing and Jesus goes into the temple and starts talking with them, and then it's time to go back, and, you know, Joseph and Mary are going, "Where is he? Where is he? Where is Jesus?" You know, and asking everybody, "Well, I don't know, he's just right over here," or "Calm down, you know, calm down, you know, you've got Jesus." And it's like, "No, I don't." And so they go back against the grain, against everybody's thoughts of, well, the only reason why you're going through this is because of your stupidity. Well, okay, but let's find Jesus. Let's get Jesus, you know. And so Now verse 46, Luke 1, verse 46. And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." And again, what a wonderful thing that is, you know, that it says that. And Hannah said, "Because I rejoice in thy salvation." It's like I am saved from myself. I am saved from my lack. I am saved from my striving. I am saved from my doctrines being my baby. I'm saved from it, and I'm so happy I can't tell you. And I think this is. For lack of a better word, the lesson that the story of Abraham and Sarah and them having the promised seed should go along. Now, there's going to be a little bit different response, but we're going to see that it's probably because of all of the hopes being dashed until he did come. All right, so she goes on, verse 48, "For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden." What? You know, you mean you weren't strong and dancing all the time and everything perfect and never having a problem and whatever? You were in a low estate? That's not the Lord. Well, then what did Jesus must have really messed up on the cross? Because that was a real low estate. "He hath regarded my low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed." Well, may I just slip this in, as long as I don't step on too many feet. She's going to be called blessed, not the mother of God. That's just click, click. Not really. "For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things." Okay, well, what has he done to her? What are these great things? The seed, not her. It's the seed that's what's great. That is the thing throughout all generations, starting with Sarah, right on through, and really before that, but why God chose Abraham, that this son that is the son of his heart, not just anyone, and call him a son. And this is the whole book of Genesis, the beginnings. Genesis, beginning. It's the beginning of every understanding of the rest of the Bible. And without it, you miss it. That God wants his son, but he doesn't just want a doctrine son. He wants a living son that has his nature. So, great things. This is the great things, you know. And you know, you remember when we were back over there a couple of chapters back and God spoke to her, let's say, probably 17. And he said to Abraham, I will bless Sarah. And then it says, by giving her a son. That's the blessing. We go, I want, Lord, bless me. Bless me with the car and bless me with lots of money and bless me with this. And he's going, you know, if you'd only ask for the son, seek this, and all these things will be added unto you. Seek the government of my Son in you, and all these things shall be added. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. Verse 51, he hath showed them, he hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. You know, that little sentence there. I wonder how many of the proud really understand that God has intervened into their life time and time again and scattered the proud in the imaginations of their heart, and their imaginations and their thoughts that are what's going to happen are scattered and off kilter of earthly expectations, and never knew that God wants you to have his Son, but he has to bring you down. And it has to be real. And, we're so good at hiding this stuff, and we think God doesn't see it. And that's the shame of it all, because it's just an ongoing thing with him. He just sees it, we start figuring out that, he doesn't want me to be haughty and proud. We start figuring that out. And so we go, okay, so, instead of dealing with it, we say, oh Lord, we put on this air of spirituality and whatever. And the Lord has always seen it, and he always will see it. And it just takes longer. It just takes so much longer because we're playing all those games, and he in his heart, I'm telling you the truth, the Lord wants to reveal his Son in us. It is his greatest desire to have his Son, and therefore to have his Son come out of anyone who would be willing in that sense. But we go, well, I don't know why he's holding back on me. He's not holding back on you. He's holding you back. you're the problem. And if you weren't the problem, if you would get with him in a right spirit, everything would start moving towards the direction of the Son. All right, so, and that doesn't mean everything goes perfect then. It just means you're not a stumbling block to him trying to get Christ formed in you and out of you, coming out of you. All right. Verse 52, he had put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. That's similar to Hannah's. That says, he lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill. Well, Mary's a lot sweeter with it, of low degree, exalted them of low degree. The Lord is saying, I have exalted those who are sitting in the... There's a word that I tend to use that in the U.S. is way less than the S word. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? If you don't, meet me after class, and me and Michael talk to you about it. But our word, or my word, the C word, to people in Europe is actually way worse than the S word. You know where I got that from? Somebody who lives over there. There. I did it. I told him. All right. He hath filled the hungry with good things. Mmm. Mmm. Is that pie? No. It's Christ. It's Lamb. And the rich he hath sent away empty. He hath holpen, I like that word, holpen, which means helped, his servant Israel. Look at that. She's seeing this thing on a much larger scale than just herself. Well, I want this. I need this. I really, you know, do you see that? I mean, the rest of it. Let me read the rest of it. He hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. Why do we stay so, you know, individualistic and self-focused that this whole thing is about me, when if another part of our heart would reach out to the Father and say, I want your Son revealed in me and then manifested out of me for your glory and for all the lives he would be able to touch. You know, I'm not talking about ministry. I'm not praying for great ministry. I'm talking about Jesus being the difference in their life. Whereas if you didn't have the seed, only the teaching of it, they would never get that. So you're praying larger than, you know, than this carpet I'm standing on, you know? It's like, okay, help this and this and this and, you know? Just be with him. Start seeing things the way he sees them. All right, and then the last plate, that was the last of Mary. And then I was going to read this out of Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel. And I realized this isn't a woman, but it doesn't matter because we're talking about being barren and needing Christ, not just revealed in us in the scriptures and in subject matters, but manifested through us in a certain spirit that glorifies the Father. Okay. This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Okay, the Lord of hosts. Okay, so we see that and we go, okay, you know, we get our faith up and we go, okay, this is not going to be my might. It's not going to be by power. It's going to be by his spirit. But he's saying it's not going to be by strength. These other people have already said that. It's not going to be by you figuring out schemy plans that will work. And you go, well, they've got to work because they work on me. I'm deceived. You know what I mean? So I know it'll work on them. No, it's not all that. It's the Lamb or not the Lamb. It is. It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, which we always say is the Holy Spirit, but his spirit is the spirit of the Lamb. You say, well, that's not whatever preacher I've ever heard said that that is. Well, I'm telling you that nature of God, if we draw that same simple three circle thing up there, that's their spirit as far as how they are and how they think and how they move and how they minister. And guess what? And it fulfills every one of these glorifying things that these women have done when they're going to have the seed from God. Because a lot of women in Israel had children, right? But all of these, something of God came to them and said, you're going to bring forth this seed. And they're all going, you know, the strength, no, the mighty, no, the exalted, no, you know, those of low degree. And every one of them say it. And so this scripture is going down the same line. And then he says the scripture, it messes with us because he says a scripture that we already got figured out. If I got upset with God every time he told me that there's something in the scripture, he says, what doesn't mean that? I would be angry all the time. He is showing me that most of what I thought the Bible was saying and certain scriptures and all this stuff and thought I had it all figured out, he's showing me that it's really, really different than that. I mean, I need to make a list. I need to make a list for you sometime. I need to go down this list and you'll go, well, you're right, because I never heard that before. You're right. I mean, it's like, what? In fact, we've got some of those things, particularly at least one of them, still in this chapter that we'll see. And it's like, oh, and I think Randy's right. No, I'm not right. I'm a blind man. I don't know. If he didn't tell me, I won't get it. I don't get it. I got a whole book called the Bible that, massive amounts of it that I still see it the way that my brain said it is. But I am pressing in so that the Holy Spirit can rewrite it in my heart. Rewrite it the way that God meant it when he said it. So, anyway. All right. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain. And he shall bring forth a headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. I mean, he's just saying, look, we're not going to do this thing. We're not going to be able to build this thing. This thing is, it's just another word when he's using grace, not by. You understand? When he says not by, or Mary says, it won't be, the mighty or won't be exalted. They'll be brought down. It's all saying not by. But by is different than not by. Right? You're going, well, see there, that one right there. I didn't really see that like that. But I mean, it's not by all that stuff. And that's our problem. It's one of our problems. Trust me, I don't have a list. I put the list away years ago. But it is a problem to us because we have a hard time with templates or finding them. But we don't really understand it, it is very difficult for us to lay that template over different things and go, well, there it is. Okay, well, we're doing that right now tonight. We're laying this over the barren. And we're saying, barren is the way God works. I mean, the book of Genesis is basically, when it comes to women, the book of the barren. And they were all the ones who brought forth the seed. How about that? Can you rejoice even before he comes and shows up in that way? Yeah. Yes. Hallelujah. So we're in Zechariah. Now it's dealing with a guy, so I'm having a hard time seeing this or whatever. Just take the pattern and lay it over it, and you see it. And so you can see in different words the same thing that it was saying with these ladies as they were doing it. It's the same spirit. And then he comes and says, not by power, but by my spirit, which is lowly and of low degree, and da 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 da. And you have exalted, and you have, what was the word it used with Mary? You have looked at, you've taken into consideration the one of low degree. What? Regarded. There you go. You have regarded the one of low degree. Well, that's our spirit. There it is. That's the spirit of the Lamb. That's, guess what? If it's the spirit of the Lamb, and the Lamb is the Son, and the Son is the Son of the Father, what do you think the spirit of the Father is going to be? I mean, come on. You like math? I don't either. I'll leave that to Kelly. All right. grace unto it. Verse 8. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hand shall also finish it. Thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of small things? Well, there's that. Is that not Mary at whatever, 15 years of age? Is that not her being this young girl, and God comes to her and says, I mean, if God just came to her and didn't say, you're going to have the Son of God, he just said at 15, you're going to have a baby by Joseph, that'd be rough enough. You know how I know? Because one of the main things I've had to counsel with women is when they get pregnant and start having kids and they go, where's the manual for this? Where is the, you know, how do you do this? How do you make, you know, what, you know? And honestly, I really don't know a single mom. Maybe I have it right here in this room or watching with it. I don't know a single mom that said, I did a great job. There's always this thing of, gosh. But you see, we it's like when you're young, you don't know anything. And then you get old enough to have a baby, and then you're too old to have a baby. You go, what's God doing here? What is this? Right? I mean, I remember thinking that when we're, you know, not just for women, for men. It's like, you know, when you're young, you're going, well, hey, let's do video games or something. And I've never been into video games. I'm just trying to, you know, but hey, let's do video games and stuff, you know, or hey, let's go buy some new tires for the car. And the wife is going, we can't just do that stuff now. We got to pay bills. We got to get, you know, what's the stuff? Pablum or whatever. There's another word for it now. For the baby and all that kind of stuff. And the guy is a mess too. And then you get older and you go, you know, I'm ready to be responsible. She's going, well, they're gone now. Where were you when I needed you? Trust me, a lot of women are going amen deep inside of them right now. All right. Am I actually trying to get through this? Does it seem like it's taking a long time? Is this good or not? I mean, is this worth it? This is, you know, I'm going to say it. This is good. Every time I've ever said that, I've had people go, well, you're just bragging on your sermon. No, it's just good. What it says in the Word. I mean, here's pretty much what I've done is I just read the scriptures and then go, is that not saying what these other scriptures are saying? Verse 10, for who hath despised the day of small things? Well, don't. You know, the Lord gave me that scripture when new creation first started. He did. He said, you know, and guess what? He still gives it to me. Actually, the same God who told me not to despise the day of small beginnings at a certain juncture when we were the fastest growing church in Denton, and that's a fact. I'm not making that up. At that time, we were. Who also said to me, with all these people that were coming, I am not pleased with this. And I went, well, what do we got to do to make you happy, Father, you know? So it's not about well, I guess I should just have a small ministry or this or that. I mean, I've had people say to me, well, God doesn't want us to be poor. I mean, look at Solomon. I mean, he's the richest man in the world. Richest man in the world. God made him that. Well, yeah, God made him that, but he was no David. That's right. And the kingdom really began to become big in David's last days, and as he gave it all over to Solomon. Because David wasn't into just big or great or mighty. He was into taking the land that Joshua didn't take. Amen? Anyway, small things. All right, well, let me just say this then. Stop worrying about, you know, well, I'm not doing much for Jesus, or I'm not, you know, da, 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 da. Just do just the simplest thing out of your heart. And just be loving and giving towards him instead of wanting him to be loving and giving toward you. And just live free with him. And not be caught up in all of this that's always bothering us and da 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 da. And you say, well, but you know, we got bills and da 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 da. Well, we got bills and frankly, I don't know how we make it. I mean, really, I don't. And, you know, I mean, it's a miracle to me, but I don't even think of miracles about it, even though in the natural it's a miracle, but really it's not to me. It's just the Father just taking care, and it would not work if I was going, well, you know what? I think I'm gonna get me a Mercedes, Deb. And she goes, well, we need to totally redo the kitchen and da 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 da. And, you know, on and on and on until it's like, well, Dad, how are we going to get out of here? We just live frugally and we live in a manner so that we can be with the Lord when he calls us to do it. And that's it. It's no big secret, and it's not really a bunch of miracles. Yes? Okay. Anyway. For they shall rejoice and see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel. With those seven, they are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth. Well, that's sure better than the devil. He's having to walk all of that. The Lord just looks and sees it all. Sorry, y'all think I'm picking on the devil, don't you? You know, don't be upset with me, you know. Okay, we have a really good section coming up here next. And it's this area of the truth of the time of life. Now, it goes right along with what we've been sharing tonight. And it's a template. Sarah is a template. She's meant to be. I mean, if she's the mother of all living, come on. Give her some honor. But it's a template, and it has elements in it that could help us be more prepared and more in tune with the Lord and what he calls timing instead of us. Because if we don't know his timing, then we're going, well, you know, I've been in this church for 20 years and I ain't getting nothing. Well, I don't know what to tell you. I'll give you this. Will that help, you know? So we're gonna hold up. Let me just go ahead and, wow. We really didn't. It sounded like we covered a lot, but we really didn't. But that's why we have numbers like 74 and 130 something, you know.